You are listening to episode 21 of Unraveling Karma, an evolutionary astrology podcast to help you deepen self-understanding and make changes for the better. My name is Tom Jacobs. I'm an evolutionary astrologer, medium, and channel talking into a microphone from or in Tucson, Arizona. A couple of things I want to tell you about. First is go to my site to see all the things that I offer between sessions and coaching and original natal reports. There are two of those, one on Lilith, one on 2012, adapting to it, emotional healing surrounding 2012. The other one's on the True Black Moon Lilith exclusively. But also four books that are there. One in particular explains and teaches this approach that I use in the podcast when I look at charts, which I hear from people who listen to it periodically who tell me how valuable it is. Well, now there's a book you can read about it. So you can order that through my site and also through Amazon. It's called The Soul's Journey 1, Astrology, Reincarnation, and Karma with a Medium and Channel. I also want to tell you that I've been doing more audio work separate from the podcast, the one you're listening to, Unraveling Karma. One thing is I've started a series of dispatches called Living Consciously. They're really short. They're between 13, 15, 16 minutes, and they just cover a bunch of different topics that have nothing to do with astrology, but have to do with living more consciously with energy, which is how I look at the changes that we all have the opportunity to undergo as we near the end of the Mayan calendar. As you probably heard, I do a lot of work with 2012 and helping people figure out exactly what that means for them and these big energetic shifts that we're all potentially experiencing if we're open to it. So those are posted at this point as of mid-August 2010 exclusively on my Facebook work page. You can look me up on Facebook at the page is called Evolutionary Astrology and Mediumship with Tom Jacobs. So for right now, that's the exclusive place they're being posted. Go there and check it out. That Facebook page is also a great way to keep updated on new podcasts and new articles and new events and all kinds of things. So the other thing to tell you about that you should be aware of is for a long time, I wasn't listening to what people, other astrologers were talking about this cardinal grand cross or cardinal T-square. And I knew I would eventually. I just was kind of processing, finishing up a bunch of books, and so it just wasn't happening. And then when I went to do it, I was kind of burned out from writing, so I ended up doing an audio MP3. So there's a 42-minute MP3 on the Pluto in Capricorn, Uranus, Jupiter in Aries, and Saturn in Libra, and the relationship between them in this T-square. That's posted at thecosmicpath.com/writings. I used to do a written article there every month, and the owner of it, Stephanie Azaria, another astrologer who does spiritual work, I just was burned out from writing, so I asked her if she would be interested in having an audio MP3, and she was, so it's posted there. People are really finding it useful to take apart exactly what each placement is asking them to do. I've received some comments from people saying, this is actually substantial, whereas what I've been reading about it, because I'm curious, has been, well, big stuff's on the way, big stuff is changing, big stuff's happening, but this is actually concrete information. So go to thecosmicpath.com/writings, and you'll see the Cardinal T-square up there. My name isn't there, but just look for the title, the Cardinal T-square. And also, if you're interested, you can scroll down and see other articles I've written. You're going to kind of have to pick and choose and figure out which ones they are, because I said my name isn't there. But on average, once a month for a couple of years, for about a year, in that format, I've posted things there. You can find a lot of interesting stuff there. Episode 21 today is the Cuban episode. When people send me their questions and birth data, I insert them in order into episodes. So if I get 5 emails, that's 2.5 episodes, and I keep them in order. And I had 2 emails within a couple of days from people born in Cuba. So this is the Cuban episode. The first one actually asks about how the Grand Cardinal Cross or Grand T-Square is affecting her. Her name is Lourdes. Her birth data are October 28th, 1958, that's 1958, at 7:30 p.m. in Havana, Cuba. And she just asked me to kind of look at how the T-score might be affecting her. The placements that Lourdes has being touched are Lucifer at 6 degrees of Capricorn in the 8th house. That's asteroid 1930, if you haven't come across that before in this podcast. And the asteroid Juno at 1 degree Libra in the 5th house. And they're obviously natally square each other. And they're also, they form a T-square with Eris, retrograde Eris, E-R-I-S, in Aries in the 11th house. But it's not directly being activated itself by the T-square, so I'm not going to include that in this analysis. But this square will be juicy between Lucifer in the 8th and Juno in the 5th. Let's start with that Juno. It's in Libra. Juno is a marker of commitment. It's really easy to say this is the kind of person we're interested in marrying or that we did or will marry, but it's really about something that we are prone to commit to, the kind of way that we are prone to commit. In Libra, we're talking about probably extremes that are trying to find a way of balance, and in the fifth, it's about personal expression. So when we experience Libra, you know, when we live Libra's stories, and actually Lourdes' north node is in Libra, so this is probably going to be a really interesting exploration for her as I go through this for a few minutes, because she's learning in this life how to do Libra after many, many, many lives of that Aries south node in the 11th. So, yeah, so it's the same sign and house, though they're not conjunct. The north node's at 22 Libra, and this Juno is at 1 Libra. So what kind of strikes the commitment bell in Lourdes will have to do with, like, what will appeal to her, and therefore the kind of people that will appeal to her to commit to and stick with are going to fit this symbolism. But I want to focus on her own personal expression because Saturn is there right now. When we do Libra, we always manifest other people to teach us things that we're not sure how to own in ourselves, to reflect things that we're not sure how to own. Saturn in Libra, for all of us, is going to reveal in perhaps difficult ways what in our relationships we still wait for someone else to take care of. I'm not saying that we have to do more in relationship, but what is it that we're waiting for someone else to do in our lives? When Saturn is in Libra, it's not going to happen. And if somebody's doing it now, if somebody's meeting a need for you, that will stop one way or the other. That person will somehow have a realization about boundaries or whatever, or the relationship will shift or go away. Whatever it is, in any way that somebody's doing something for you, it's gonna stop because you need to learn how to do it for yourself, and that's becoming more spiritually mature. So Saturn on a Juno in Libra in the 5th is gonna say, Lourdes, get realistic about your own levels of personal creative expression. Are there ways that you let other people shine creatively, which would be a way of looking at Libra and the 5th house, how they overlap. Because Lourdes has this south node in Aries in the 11th, the Libra 5th is in some ways going to be very foreign for her. So the Saturn transit conjuncting the Juno is really a call to wake up to the reality of what it is that she needs to not just express, you know, 5th house, but what it is that she needs to commit to expressing. What inner voice needs to be allowed to shine, even if nobody comes around and says, hey, you should let that voice shine. So I wouldn't be surprised if other people encouraging Lourdes's creativity and all the different ways that fifth house creativity can come out, because you can do any job, for example, creatively. So it's not just limited to the traditional creative things like painting, dancing, singing, acting, something like this. But I wouldn't be surprised, Lourdes, if what you're experiencing is other people not telling you, like not reflecting to you this part of yourself, Now, the point would be for you to do it yourself. The point is for you to learn how to commit to your own creativity, because you feel on some level, because there is a part of you that exists that does feel this, that for you to create room for yourself to shine and to really be seen as a vivacious, creative human, that is important. So that's the first part. Well, okay, then extending that, Pluto from the eighth house, squaring that, will bring friction within your closest relationships, right? Because the house, the eighth house, is the house of intimacy. Well, we tend to think of that as a lot about sexuality and sex itself. It's really about where we're completely honest and we're therefore totally vulnerable to another. So I would say the circle of intimate people, spouse, lover, but honest, intimate friends as well. That there's pressure from that kind of people in your life I'm just kind of feeling into this, and what it feels more like is pressure that in order to relieve the pressure, you have to stand up and say, this is who I am, and thereby make a kind of committed stance to expressing yourself personally. So in Capricorn in the eighth house, it might be there's some kind of power struggles within intimate relationships, and the only solution is that you stand up and make more clear statements about who you are and what kind of relationships you want to have, and making sure that you're heard as an equal in those relationships. Moving on to this Lucifer at 6 degrees Capricorn in the eighth, Pluto's conjunct it, and the Saturn square it. And the Jupiter-Uranus are opposing it. Oh, let me go back and say the Jupiter-Uranus opposing the Juno are about taking a risk in trusting your instinct. When you do that, you see reasons why you might not commit to your own creativity. And because the opposition always reveals things once we open to the view. And so taking a risk that would challenge what parts of you think you should be doing creatively or in the realm of personal expression. So that's wrapping up the Juno part, talking about each of these three bodies affecting it. Moving on to the Lucifer, Pluto conjunct Lucifer is about, this Lucifer in Capricorn in the eighth is about who can be trusted. The natural voice of doubt that Lucifer represents will manifest in you as doubt that you should trust people or a certain kind of person. There's a Lucifer in the eighth is going to be afraid of using people. If I really connect and bond, right, this eighth house idea, if I really get your trust, then I might not do good things with it. But, the vast, vast majority of us do wonderful things with that. But that voice of doubt is a natural check on, to make you stop and check your motivation. So as long as you know that you use trust in healthy ways, that you honor other people's trust, then you'll also create that around you. So you might have some history in your life of, that you might need to clean up about that as far as who can be trusted when. And we know that whenever we feel that we can't trust other people, it's actually an issue about we feel trust. Anyway, whenever we feel we can't trust other people, it's that we feel we can't trust ourselves to be in the right situations or to pick the right people where it's okay to trust. So it's always about the energy you're holding. So Pluto conjunct this wants to tear down all your ideas about trust and intimacy and to really, really get inside that sense of doubt and just kind of crumble it from the inside out. What you're supposed to do is lose all old patterns about trust and issues about trust and doubting that you can or should trust others. Or when you have trusted and it seemed like it was too much and you got hurt, the meaning that you assigned to that. So the Pluto really wants you to come out of the apparent stuff and really get the real truth about these issues about trust. As Saturn squares that Lucifer, Saturn from Libra in the fifth, there's a reality check from the work of the moment, right? And this going over this Juno, you're looking at who it is that you really are, and opening up your voice to commit more to being creative. And so the square to Lucifer in Capricorn in the eighth is going to challenge some of the existing relationships that you have, because as you speak up, that's going to challenge, you know, why did I choose this relationship? What am I doing in this relationship? And then that Lucifer voice of doubt can be triggered. If everything's working well and you're listening to this, then you can kind of fine-tune the relationships that you have and also let some that don't work go. So that's the kind of ideal. With, Uranus and Jupiter stationed more than 3 degrees away from the Lucifer, so I'm not going to bring that in quite yet. In a few months, that'll come into play. And the Uranus stationed at zero before the first degree of Aries, so I'm not going to pull that in with that. So there's the answer to your question. It's a lot of, as you'll find, Lourdes and also everybody else, when you go to hear that 42-minute MP3 on the Cardinal T-Square, I really go very in-depth with it so that you can really understand the baseline. You can understand the point, the underlying current of what's going on with that. So you check that out at thecosmicpath.com/writings. Title is Cardinal T-Square. Our second Cuban-born listener is Levon, and he was born February 27th, 1967, 1967, at 8 a.m. in Pinar del Rio, Cuba. And he asks about the timing of a Europe trip. He asked when he's going to go to Europe. And I think that Levon has listened to these podcasts, and so he probably knows already that I don't do predictive stuff, but I think he's curious about what I might latch on to and explore, given that I don't do specific timing stuff. And I hope that this is useful for you, Levon, even if I'm not telling you dates or anything, because I want to empower you to understand why it might not be happening yet. So, pull up his chart and go straight to that first house Saturn in the last degree of Pisces, conjunct Venus in early Aries. Go straight there, please. This just really, really jumped out at me. I mean, also now as I say that, the South Node is jumping out at me again, the South Node in Scorpio in the 8th. So I'm going to talk about the South Node first, actually. So South Node in Scorpio in the 8th, again, another 8th house theme here, as Lourdes had that asteroid Lucifer there. The South Node is how we're conditioned over many lives, and so we tend to see the world through a lens of Scorpio 8th house when we have that there. And so Levon has been conditioned essentially by really intense interactions with other people. When we do look at the 8th house as being about the money and resources that we share with other people, where I want to go here is that lots of times with Scorpio in the 8th house, we can be conditioned by a lot of chaos. How we usually talk about it with clients who have something like this signature is drama. We get wrapped up or entangled in other people's drama. But there is a certain amount of intensity and chaotic intensity when we have the South Node and Scorpio in the 8th house. So it doesn't mean our whole lives are like that, but we have been shaped by dramatic things and dramatic energies. So then when I look at that, the opposite is Taurus 2nd house. So basically, Levon is conditioned to look around himself and to be aware of the psychological motivations of others, the needs of other people, you know, the priorities of other people, the demands of other people. He's really, signed up over a number of his lives to experience this intensity with other people. The North Node, what he hasn't done that much of, is Taurus 2nd house. So it's really important for him to choose his own value system in order to, and live according to it, and that will lead to developing a kind of self-worth. Now, when I say value system, it's really about what you think is important, like what you actually value. Value system is kind of abstract. When I say, what is most important to you? So I think that a big trip, like going to Europe, is going to reflect some of this north node. What essentially this question becomes, what are you willing to do to make what is important to you happen? If, Livon, you are distracted by the dramas of other people, that's going to keep you from getting your resources in order, right? Second house relates to Taurus and resources. So I say value system and what you think is important, but that determines what skills you gather. That's a resource. And the skills you gather and how you apply them, which is that application is a resource, how you apply all that stuff brings in money. And money determines, you know, your really, you know, all these other things. So there's a whole link between developing your own value system. So one thing that's going to be really important for Livon in general is to focus on what he feels about himself and develop his own version of self-worth and self-esteem. And every time somebody else says, oh yeah, that's not true about you, or you shouldn't feel that good about yourself, or here, think this about you instead, just to always come back to that vision. Always hold that vision and develop your own way of living. So that's the first thing with the nodes. The second thing, which my eyes went straight to the Saturn in the first house. So now Chiron is at 24 Pisces in the 12th. True Black Moon Lilith is at 19 Pisces in the 12th, not far from retro Mercury in Pisces in the 17. But this Saturn conjunct this Venus in Aries in the 4th, or sorry, 4 degrees of Aries in the 1st. And why this my eyes went straight here is because Jupiter and Uranus transiting, they're both retrograding right now, they're both conjunct this Venus Saturn. So this Jupiter Uranus, as you'll learn in that MP3 at thecosmicpath.com, are right now about taking a risk, trusting our instincts and taking a risk. But when I look at a Saturn in the first house, you know, Saturn, wherever it goes, can bring weight and slowness and a methodical approach to everything, and everything has to be planned and every, you know. And I look at Livon's signature here in his chart, he's carrying a heavy energy. So when Livon, when you ask me, when am I going to Europe? My question for you is, well, how free do you feel to go to Europe? Because people ask me questions, sometimes the answer is a question. It's just how it is. Because I want to stir you into thinking about this stuff and not just give you something that looks like a great answer. And I actually know Livon will appreciate that. So anyway, so this Jupiter-Uranus wants you to take a risk about trusting your instinct, in this case, conjunct your Venus. So there's this kind of a joyful, pleasure-oriented thing that might feel like it needs to happen for you, and yet the Saturn is also there in Pisces, right on the, you know, a couple degrees from the ascendant. So how free do you feel to go? How free do you feel to take a trip that will, I'm assuming, make you feel more alive than you do right now? So this is going to bring up how you deal with money, how you deal with work, how you deal with time, and every other resource. This Venus Saturn, Venus in Pisces, and Venus in Aries and Saturn in Pisces, this combo, the Venus wants to go, go, go fast, and the Pisces wants to slow down, and the Saturn wants to be methodical and try to find really solid footing before doing anything. And I think this Jupiter-Uranus want you to take a risk. Now, the risk is not the trip. The risk is partially in believing that you get to do it. And holding that vision, holding that idea, and knowing that you get to do it, that because it's important to you, it matters. But then you have to look at these practical things in your life about, like I said, time, money, energy. Where do these things go? Where might you be leaking energy so you don't feel your energy is your own? So that's the avenue that I'm suggesting you go down. And when you do that, you will start to take back some energy that you're leaking right now. Maybe you have some time commitments that really you don't feel good about, but you made a commitment, so you're still doing it. Maybe you have some family commitments. Maybe you have some financial commitments. Maybe, you know, you're maybe you're working on a long-term plan and the idea of going to Europe just doesn't fit in it. So, but really taking some time to look at where your resources go now will help you understand how to make it work so that you can achieve this dream. You know, go on this fabulous trip. So that's my answer for you. Let me just take one other quick look. Oh, now I see it. I get intuitively guided to look at different things in at different times or in different orders. So I'll just tell you, Levon, this Saturn, while it's, you know, conjunct Chiron and by extension Lilith and Mercury and then also Venus on the other side, it's also opposing Uranus and by extension Pluto, but then also Lucifer. That's what I want to talk about. Lucifer, Uranus in Virgo in the sixth house. Because they're connected to Pluto, you have karma. You have different lives where you are trying to figure out how much work is enough. And this Saturn in the first might in some way crave freedom while it opposes this stuff in the house of duty and responsibility. The Lucifer specifically opposing it. And all, by the way, Lucifer, Uranus, and Pluto are all retrograde. Each is retrograde. So Levon has in various lives tried on for size other people's ideas of work ethic, other people's ideas of responsibility. He's born in this life with a little burnout from having tried on other people's stuff. So as I went through this issue of this question's for you. Look at how you manage your resources now, your time, your energy, your money. There's a karmic issue in here for you to learn about, developing more of what you think duty and responsibility is and leaving behind other people's. Now, most people who are kind of in this situation would find themselves wrapped up in kind of a web. It's not changeable overnight very often, but put some attention on it and, you know, ask your guides, ask your spirit helpers, ask the angels, whomever it is that you're more comfortable asking, ask the universe in general for help in gaining consciousness of this and reorienting how this part of your life works. Because your Pluto says, my soul's mission is to learn about responsibility, but the Pluto retrograde says that I've tried on other people's ideas too much and I'm kind of burned out. So I need to start being original about my exploration of what duty is and opposing that Saturn and the first conjunct Venus. That's where the root of the whatever the resources question is in your life, that's where it's rooted. So Levon, thank you for writing. And Lourdes, thank you for writing in as well. I hope that's useful for each of you. If you have a question about your own chart, or if you have a question about even a celebrity's chart, whose data we have, or you can even ask me about a mundane issue. I don't always answer those, but for some reason I'm being nudged to add that in. So you can send that to karma@tdjacobs.com, and I'll respond within a few days or a week to let you know which episode you're going to be in. Again, karma@tdjacobs.com. Send your question, your first name, and it can be fake. I don't care if you don't want it shared. And also your full birth data. Day, month, year, time of day, and location. So that brings us to the end of episode 21 of Unraveling Karma. I'm Tom Jacobs. I'm an astrologer, medium, and channel in Tucson, Arizona right now. And find me on the web at tdjacobs.com. And also follow my work on Facebook to hear the Living Consciously dispatches. There are three of them posted now as of mid-August. And that page is Evolutionary Astrology and Mediumship with Tom Jacobs. All right, thanks for listening.